Barrenjoey Road, written by Neil Mercer and Ruby Jones and read by Emma Carey. The New South Wales Police Incident Report has survived down through the decades. It's just 2 pages, but even now, 50 years later, it makes for confronting reading on 2 counts. First, the brutality of the attack. Second, the apparent indifference of the police working the graveyard shift that morning. Alongside the heading complaint, there are 2 boxes, one for rejected and the other for doubtful. There is no box for accepted or to be investigated further. Little wonder that so few women ever went to the police.
If someone had said to me 7 years ago that I would soon own 12 Kelpies, 6 Maremmas, be managing our family cattle station and writing a book, I would have thought they'd lost their mind. Now, most days, I wonder if I've lost mine. My dogs have taught me to be a better person and that there really is more to life than the station I grew up on. I was unable to subdue a smug little smile as I put 2 and 2 together in my hungover brain and realised Renee was talking about the Harding House. I'd heard of it, of course, as had most people on the North Shore. Now I understood her reluctance to say the address in front of me. Renee believed I wasn't worthy, that the Harding House was too good for me. I couldn't disagree with her, but that didn't mean I wasn't going to be there on the dot of 3.
The House at the Edge of the World. I know what you're thinking. You read the title above and thought it must be a metaphor. There is no edge of the world. Every scientist and every non-scientist knows that. The Earth is round. If you try to reach the edge of it, you'll just keep going and going. And if you start walking from, say, Paris and keep walking, you'll eventually come right back to Paris again and again and again. But if you circle the world enough times, say 11 or 12 or 13 times, you will, I promise you, reach the edge of the world. And it is an actual edge. The world is there, all solid and sensible, and then all of a sudden, it's not.
Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Wicked Deeds, written by Kim Wilkins and read by Emma Carey. Perhaps you don't really grow up until you realise that you aren't the only person whose existence counts, until you become aware that others live and breathe outside your circle of perception. It happened to me the day I heard about the first murder. While I'd been on stage the night before, somebody had been killed in the pine forest outside of town. My imagination tends to work without consent, so the news kick-started a stubborn chain of morbid thoughts in me. I constructed a complete picture of what it would have been like, dying like that, and matched it up with what I'd been doing at the time, like my band became the soundtrack for this guy's living nightmare. More than that, the things I was doing had seemed so important and meaningful at the time. But compared to what he had to go through, we were just a pack of pretentious would-be rock stars, exploiting our negligible middle-class angst as if it were pain. I was kicking my microphone stand over. He was realising that he was about to die. Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The Things She Owned, written by Catherine Tomiko Argyle and read by Emma Carey. The sun is blinding. When Erica closes her eyes, its rays pulse white beneath her lids. When she opens them, she sees her mother against blue sky, magnificent, like a goddess. Michiko is wearing a cream swimsuit, showing off sun-bronzed skin. Permed black curls tumble from a red and white polka dot scarf around her head. Erica searches her mother's face. She stares at Michiko's crimson lips, sipping from a martini glass. An olive skewered by a toothpick rests against its rim, which Michiko holds in place with a scarlet nail as she drinks. She empties the glass and plucks the olive from its stick with her teeth, glancing sideways at the men around her on the yacht. Reclining on the deck cushions, crossing and uncrossing her legs, she nods, giggles at the men,